Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson along with the governor.
He says he got all his jeans from his mom. Woo. From his mom. Woo. A lot of nylon.
A lot of excitement in the air.
Yes.
And we're ready for college basketball. College basketball. Oh,
oh. Gus. Oh, he's got onions. Gus, he's got onions.
Oh, oh.
Rise and fire.
Sets up the big fella to light it up. Yes, he's got onions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to week one of the Marquette Barroom, where you are going to get all your Marquette news analysis from the boys of the Barroom. My name is Tyler Cassidy. For those who don't know, I am joined by my co-host,
Brian Cassidy. How are you guys doing today? I'm very excited to be here and talk about our first two Marquette basketball games of the season. They start off 2-0. They lay a smackdown on Stony Brook on opening night, and then they win in what was a close game with George Mason for much of the game. They pull away at the end. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to dislike. We're going to get into all of that. Tyler, you want to start with Stony Brook?
This Stony Brook game was at the end of Big East opening night. After some heart-wrenching games that did go our way, Marquette was able to win and kind of say, hey, we got the Big East covered. They won by 40 points against Stony Brook. This was Cam Jones going absolutely nuts, shooting 14 of 16 for 32 points. Chase Ross chipped in 23 points on shooting 9 of 11. David Joplin also scored in double digits with 13 points. Workmanlike effort for a team that is way better than Stony Brook.
Yeah, this was the kind of dominance you're looking for when you schedule one of these low majors. You get to play your walk-ons at the end. I mean, you're playing Royce Parham for 18 minutes, your freshman, true freshman. So this is his first game of his career. He gets 18 minutes. This was exactly what you want to see. Cam Jones looked like an All-American with the 32 points. He was unstoppable. He was scoring at will. I sent you one clip. I mean, you got to feel bad for some of the Stony Brook kids at some point, because they don't belong on the same court as Cam Jones. They don't belong. They have no opportunity to guard somebody of his talent level ever again in their lives. He pulled one move where he's driving right at the kid, pulls a complete spin move, and then does his little lefty scoop. I mean, this kid is going to be an accountant in a couple years. He had no chance of stopping that.
Yes. Poor Stony Brook kid, whoever just got thrown under the bus. Thank you for listening. Yeah, this is what you're supposed to do against these bye games. You're supposed to go out there, and for a Marquette team that has a lot of continuity over the last these players have played together, they are looking at this game and saying, we need to run up the score a little bit. Metrics matter. Blowouts matter. You need to win these games by 30 or 40 points, and that's what they did. I think that we saw a lot of really good things from Chase Ross. His ability to get downhill and get to the hole at any given time makes him one of the better, more exciting players in the Big East. He also got 7 rebounds. That's one of the things, or 8 rebounds. That's one of the things I worry about with this Marquette team. They're not the best rebounding team in the country, and they lost probably their best rebounder from last year. So where are those rebounds coming from? And, when you get 8 rebounds from Chase Ross and 7 from David Joplin, you start to see the picture a little bit, and 6 from Stevie Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. So not like a ton of takeaways that we're going to have from this game, except for that this is a game where Marquette did exactly what they were supposed to do. They looked like they were, in a different weight class than the opposing team, which is a problem that some of the other Big East schools had that Marquette did not have. So, yes, go ahead. Did you have a takeaway you wanted to do?
Important to note, and I know that this is not where everybody lands, when I'm talking about the metrics, Marquette was favored to win this game by 22.5 points. That's a huge number. When you beat that projection by 18 points and you win by 40, you go up a little bit. If Marquette won this game by 20 points, they would have probably stayed the same in the metrics or gone down a little. That's why I'm going to try to stress that, the final scores matter, especially for this Marquette team that's a top 20 team in the country. The final scores matter a lot right now because they're trying to move up and say, hey, we can be a top 10 team in KenPom or Torfit. And the only way to do that for them right now is to win and run up those scores.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you saw. They moved up 6 spots on KenPom after opening night. You know, they're one of only two teams in the Big East that moved up, just them and St. John's. So, yes, this is a low major game. Yes, this is a difference in talent level, you know, a striking difference in talent level. But the metrics still love it when you blow these guys out, and that's exactly what they did. They went out and took care of business. They looked like an experienced team. They looked like a team that knows how to win, that knows how to put themselves in a position where they'll be getting, you know, looks for an NCAA tournament bid by really running up those numbers and get a metric win in addition to getting, you know, just a game win.
My last takeaway from this game is I think we saw how Marcus Smart. Shaka Smart plans to utilize that center position. He got 34 minutes from a combined 34 minutes from Ben Gold and Caden Hamilton. I think he's going to use Caden Hamilton as the main backup, and that's what we saw going into this George Mason game. And if he can be serviceable back there, then that answers one big question I had for Marquette going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good lead-in into kind of the more interesting game of the week, which was Marquette versus George Mason. Marquette wins 82-63, but notably at halftime, they were losing 37-36. They turned it on in the second half. They really didn't turn it on in the second half until about, you know, the 5-minute mark where they start to really pull away with it. Well, it's still it was a 2-point game with 6 minutes left. So they didn't really pull away with it until the last 6 minutes there. And there were some serious concerns ahead watching this game. Tyler says no concerns.
They did what they were supposed to do in a game that they were favored by 13. They won by 19. I'm not concerned.
Not concerned. So you're not concerned that they were losing at halftime to George Mason at the Al McGuire Center at a student-only game?
No. The adrenaline gets high in those games, and it's hard to continue. Those games are a lot of fun, and you can win those games by, you know, 40 or 50. But in some ways, you get too fired up, and they came out and were up, I think, 10-2 or something at the beginning of the game. And you just crash because your adrenaline's been too high and it's not sustainable. You're not playing your game. You're playing a little above your head. Listen, this Marquette team, I give a lot of credit to Shaka. Scheduling a top 100 team to start, you know, this is the best team a Big East team has played so far. And he does it in the second game of the season. I think that speaks to, I said this on our Big East Barroom podcast. I said, I think this speaks to the way that he thought his roster would look this year, the continuity between it. He said, you know, I'm probably going to have five starters that have played together before. So I can afford to schedule a better team earlier on in the season where you've had, you know, some of these Big East teams that are coming together right now for the first time. They're not willing to risk it because they're like, well, we need to make sure that the transfers know how to play together right now. Marquette doesn't have that problem. And part of the reason I was so high on Marquette going into this year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And you have to give credit to George Mason. Played a very nice game. There was one great sign. I don't know if you saw it. Somebody was holding up a thank you for Tyler Kolek sign, who obviously came from George Mason a few years ago. So there's a little bit of history between these two programs. So really cool. I agree with you to see Shaka Smart schedule them to put an entertaining game on the schedule for Big East opening week. For college basketball opening week. But I don't understand how you can sit here and say you're not concerned at all when you're losing by a point at home to George Mason for a team that wants to be a second weekend team in the NCAA tournament. You know, Ben Gold ends up shooting 2 of 7 from three. He started 1 of 6. Ben Gold is – and we're getting into, like, some of my concerns, so we're going to get kind of deep into it here. Defensively was my biggest concern. There was a lot of missed assignments, blown assignments, guys just going right past each other. And you saw a lot of that from your five position. All right. Now, one thing that nobody ever talks about is Osoye Ighodaro's defensive abilities. We all talk about Tyler Kolek and, you know, Oso being a passing big. Nobody talks enough about what Oso did for them defensively and how he was able to switch 1 through 5. He was the best defender on the court for them. I know I love Stevie Mitchell, but Oso was a more impactful defender. Without them, the five looks worrying.
And I wonder if Shaka should have abandoned his morals a little bit and gone and got a big in the portal that at least could be. I like Caden Hamilton from what I've seen. I don't know what Caden Hamilton's going to be in Big East play. If he brought in a big that, you know, had come from a bigger school, I know that goes against what Shaq likes to do if his transfers, but at least then you would have said, we have a insurance policy if Ben Gold doesn't work for this team. because I do think there are concerns about Ben Gold defensively, and I think offensively. If Ben Gold's not hitting the three consistently, then yes, I don't know you. How to say this nicely.
No, you're finishing my thought, because I didn't finish the thought. Yeah, if he's not shooting consistently, he can't be on the floor because he's not a good enough defender. He has to make up for that on the offensive end. I believe he can. We saw at the end of last year, he started, you know, hitting some pump fake drives, take it to the hole a couple times, where he looked, you know, really much more athletic than anything we had seen from him to that point. If he's able to do that consistently, yes, he's a Big East player. But if he can't, he's a net negative defensively.
Speaking of his shooting, that does segue me into a little bit of my only concern, really, from this game, other than Ben Gold, which kind of was a concern going into the season. I'm worried about them shooting the three. They shot 31% in this game, 11 of 35. I think we know what we're going to get from Cam Jones shooting the three. David Joplin had not as good of a year as he had the year before last year, if that makes sense, shooting the three. Ben Gold is hit or miss. Chase Ross, I'm not 100% sure he's a three-point shooter. He's still kind of a drive and dish player. And Stevie Mitchell shot 26% from three last year. This team needs to shoot the three ball at an effective level. And one of the things we didn't talk about last year with Kolick a lot is he shot 40% from three. You know, we think of him as a pass-first point guard, but he made you respect that three ball last year for him. And I think that kind of took his game to the next level and Marquette's game. From the bench, they went 0 of 7 from three. Zay Lowry, Parham, and Cade Hamilton all didn't make one. Trey Norman didn't shoot one. Sean Jones, who I absolutely love, who will come back in this game team eventually, he showed flashes last year that he might be able to shoot the ball a little bit, but he hasn't done it consistently at this level. I think if Marquette wants to get where they're going, they need to shoot the three ball a lot better. They need to be in that mid-30s to late-30s, and they need to be getting better looks.
Yeah, they did generate some decent looks. Like, some of the Ben Gold looks were pretty open looks, and he's just missing them. David Joplin obviously went 5 of 11, kind of took over this game down the stretch, finishes with 27 points, 10 rebounds, his second double-double in his career. So, yeah, I agree. Outside of David Joplin and Cam Jones, there's a lot of question marks about their shooting right now. You'd love to see one of these sophomores come off the bench and be able to knock down their shots. But like you said, you didn't see it this week so far.
Yeah, so let's talk about some positives taken away from this game. We talked about the things we were concerned about. I think without question, we could talk about Cam Jones and that he's probably the best scorer in the Big East and maybe one of the best scorers in the country. He has a bag that is so deep where he can get to the hole at will and at the same time can shoot the three ball well. I really was impressed with the step forward that David Joplin took in this game. I think we know that Cam's an alpha. I think we know that what we're going to get from Stevie as a role player and a defensive threat and, you know, kind of one of the offensive stalwarts, and Chase Ross is explosive as hell. But David Joplin kind of needs to be that consistent 15 to 20 point a game scorer. And we saw him, you know, he scored 27 points. He was the best, most impactful offensive player in that game because with Cam, it's consistent. With David, we're not sure what we're going to be getting every single week. And he showed us this week that he can be that second fiddle that really is kind of like a first or second team Big East caliber offensive player when he's right.
Yeah, they talked about last year, going into last year, that they thought David Joplin was a scorer. He's not just a shooter, he's a scorer. And, you know, last year he took steps forward, but there was Tyler Kolick and there was also Ighodaro, and so there was less pressure on him. Now those guys are gone, and he has to show that he can score. Because you're exactly right. They need to get the points from somewhere. And Joplin has the skills. He has the ability. We know. I mean, we saw him punch that ball on Ryan Cockburner's head. Like, we know this kid not only can shoot, but he can take it to the hole with authority. He's got a mid-range game.
And he can play a little back to the basket, too. I mean, Jop has that in his bag, I think, where he can back it down a smaller if he gets a mismatch. He can bat down a smaller defender. So, yeah, impressed with David Joplin a lot. How could you not be?
Yeah. But if he could do that consistently, if he can be their second best scorer consistently, now you have a real path to being a really good team, right? Because the other guys can fill in behind them. And at some point, Stevie Mitchell is going to give you some points. He only gave you three against George Mason. You know, we know what Chase Ross is capable of. We know like the athleticism. We know what he does defensively. But I think that's what the formula has to be. Cam Jones, All-American, David Joplin, solidly in that second scoring role.
Agreed. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the incident at the end of the game for this George Mason as we segue a little bit. If you did not see it, Marquette started to pull away a little bit at the end of that game. Ben Gold driving down the lane for a dunk, gets two hands shoved in midair, a very dangerous play by the George Mason player. I understand emotions get the best of you, but you can end someone's season really quickly with a move like that. And what I was impressed with, and I think, you know, we've really want to harp on this, is the leadership that Cam Jones and Chase Ross showed in that first second where they didn't go to pick Ben Gold up. They went and let the George Mason kid know, this is not how you play. You're not going to come in here and bully us. We are too good of a team. We're too connected of a team. We have each other's backs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We were watching this together, and your initial reaction was, yo, that's bullshit, when you saw what the George Mason guy did to Ben Gold. And that was also Cam Jones' initial reaction, was, that's bullshit. If you watch back the video, pretty much as soon as Ben Gold hit the ground, Jones is running at the guy. And Jones was smart. He didn't throw a punch or anything like that that could result in a suspension, but he got right up on him and let him know, you're not going to come in here and bully us or punk us or anything like that. Obviously, that's the kind of moment that can bring a group together and really knit them together because, you know, Ben Gold is now going to want to go to war for Cam Jones, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it shows something too, because it was Ben Gold who went down, a kind of a quieter player, more even keel, it seems, where he goes down and it could be pretty easy just to go help him up because he's not going to react like crazy. He's not going to get up there and be fired up. And they said, no, that's one of my brothers. I'm getting up there and I'm going to defend him. And I think if we're going to be honest, when Marquette loses two players like an Oso Iguodaro and a Tyler Kolek, who are so ingrained in the culture, who are more than just players, they are coaches on the floor, that there are worries about leadership. You have to have real questions about the leadership of this team. And in that moment for me, and maybe it'll be a red herring and it won't be exactly that, I saw a leader in Cam Jones, both on the floor and off the floor. And I know that he said after the game that Shaka wasn't thrilled with him, but I bet if Shaka, I don't know, is Shaka married?
Yes.
If when Shaka went home to his wife that night, I bet he looked at her and said, I have a dude and I have a leader on this team now because Cam Jones showed me something that is much bigger than basketball.
Yeah, I completely agree. We knew what kind of scorer he could be. We knew he could lead the league in scoring. I mean, freaking Shaka Smart told us his freshman season that one day he was going to lead the league in scoring. We knew he had that capability. The question was, can he be a leader of this team? The way Tyler Kolek was a leader of this team, the way Oso Iguodaro was a leader. Can he take over that mantle? Well, it's only two games in, but man, that's a hell of a statement from Cam Jones about, hey guys, I got you. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And Chase Ross right behind him too. I mean, and remember, these are college kids. I mean, I think it's important to know that. It's so easy to lose your cool. I'm 31 now. I could see myself losing my cool. That George Mason kid, for a second, squared up. He put his fists up to, he probably wasn't going to do anything, but someone puts your fists up. Both of them didn't throw a punch. They're not going to get suspended. They stuck up for their team while at the same time never crossing the line. You saw, and I don't want anyone from the NCAA listening, a few players leave the bench too. I think that this team is really connected. I think that this team really likes each other. And as corny as it could be to the outside world, when Shaka Smart's talking about relationships and he's talking about my team needs to like each other more than they need to like me, he's talking about moments like that when the guys are down where Shaka's not running over there to help. You're seeing Zaid Lowry leave the bench to go help and, you know, get in the middle of it because he's not going to leave his teammate. And that doesn't happen everywhere. I know that, you know, we like Marquette. We're Big East fans. We watch a lot of college basketball, and there would have been players who got knocked down there that the player, you know, they would have went and helped them up, and that would have been it. That's not happening to Marquette, and that says a lot about the culture that Shaka's built.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Anything else you want to say on this incident?
Yeah, that George Mason player was kind of a something for doing that.
Yeah, it's a bitch move. I just want to real quick circle back to like the actual gameplay and talk about Zade Lowry, since you mentioned him coming off the bench. He played 20 minutes for them. That is nearly his career high in minutes. He played 21 against Creighton in March of last year. But, you know, he really was able to contribute for the team despite only scoring 1 point. He defended at a high level. He moves his feet. He's long. He's athletic. I don't know what his offensive game is at this point. I mean, outside of scoring a couple buckets in transition, because God knows you don't want to be trying to stop him when he's elevating towards the rim. But defensively, he looks like he's going to be a contributor immediately. And then now you're talking about three of the best defensive wings in the conference, maybe in the country, in Chase Ross, Stevie Mitchell, and Zade Lowry. I mean, I'm not sure there's too many teams in the country that have three wings that can defend at that level.
Yeah, I agree. And Stevie Mitchell was in foul trouble a lot of this game, which is why we had to go to Zade Lowry for such a long period of time. And I don't think they missed a beat defensively. I think offensively was a little bit of a different, you know, Stevie, what he's able to bring with some of his putbacks and driving the lane. But defensively, I thought we were in a good spot. And I think Zade Lowry should take some credit for that.
Yeah, so for all the negatives I mentioned defensively about the five position and their front court, I don't feel that way at all about their backcourt. Their backcourt defensively, I mean, Cam Jones made a couple of defensive plays in the second half. I rewatched the beginning of the second half before we jumped on here. He made a couple really nice defensive plays also, and that's not something he's known for. So we will see. You know what? You got to give Shaka Smart the benefit of the doubt that he's going to develop these players into where they need to be by the time Big East play starts.
Yes.
All right, now we want to take a look at the upcoming week for the Marquette Golden Eagles. They have Central Michigan Monday night, and then they are playing at Maryland on Friday night, 8 o'clock. I believe that will be the first high major game of the Big East season, obviously the first high major game of Marquette's season. Maryland's 2-0. ESPN right now has it 51% Maryland, 48% Marquette. So this should be a really fun game. And you know, something, you know, the season starts slow in college basketball every year. It starts slow because you're playing low majors. This is not a low major, and this should be a fun game, and you're playing at College Park in Maryland.
Yeah, right now, Central Michigan's 249, not to gloss over them, 249 on KenPom. Maryland's 31, and if you want to talk about what their strength is, defensively ranked 6th on KenPom. There's been we have some questions about Marquette's offense, where the points are going to come from outside of Cam Jones. Where are the points going to come from outside of Cam Jones against a legitimate top 10 defensive team in the country? I give credit again for Maryland, or for Marquette and Maryland, scheduling a high major game this early in the season. This is a great litmus test for where Marquette is at, what their depth will look like, and to be honest, a lot of this Marquette team won't look a whole lot different at the end of the year, and they've been playing together for a few years. So I think we should have a really good idea of what Marquette's going to look like this year based on this game.
So not to gloss over Central Michigan, but let's gloss over Central Michigan. Looking at the Maryland game, what are a couple keys that you are looking for, that you are watching for from Marquette that could decide this game?
Yeah, so I'm going to go over Maryland's roster a little bit here. They look like they rely on Rodney Rice, Derek Queen a lot to score their points, along with Jacoby Gillespie. Probably no relation to Colin. Those three are the three in double digits. Derek Queen is a center. He is a 6'10" freshman from Maryland. So it's going to be a good test for Ben Gold. Ben Gold is going to be playing physical big men this year. And Oso Godaro did a really nice job in non-con last year against Hunter Dickinson and other bigs that he played that were bigger than him. So what can Ben Gold do? Ben Gold is taller than Oso Godaro. Can he get some blocks? You know, maybe he gets pushed a little bit more, but can he get some more blocks down low?
Had a very nice block, George Mason. I think he got switched, and the guard tried to drive him, and he stayed with him. Had a nice block.
And, you know, this Maryland team, from what I'm seeing, looks like a little bit a younger team. Rodney Rice is only a sophomore. Went to DeMatha Catholic, by the way. So that's a very famous school down in Maryland. And Jacoby Gillespie's a junior. So it looks like they rely on those guys mainly for a lot of their scoring. You know, I think we're going to look at Marquette's offense and say, can David Joplin replicate that? Or is David Joplin going to be a streaky, he'll put up 30 points one game and then three the next? If we see a guy that's in the 15 to 20 range, I think Marquette wins this game.
Yeah, I think those are all good points. I think for myself, what I'm most looking at is team defense. How clean are they? They are a team that, you know, last year played some of the best team defense in the league. Very few mistakes. That's what always characterized them last year. Very few mistakes. And then you'd have a guy like Stevie Mitchell, who was just a high energy, pressure, create some turnovers kind of player. But as a team, they understood their scheme and they were able to flow through it very well. We didn't see that in this first week, at least against George Mason. Can they clean it up in time for Maryland? I believe yes. I'd be surprised if this becomes a problem throughout the season, but they need to have it ready because they play a high major in less than a week.
All right, we're going to move on to our award of the week, where we are both going to select a player of the week.
I thought I was supposed to do domino of the week. I don't do the domino.
I don't know what a domino of the week is.
Come on. No, it's a Shaka Smart's thing.
Shaka Smart has so many Shaka Smartisms that I can't remember them all. EGBs, deflections, relationships over everything.
Every other coach is posting like the same thing on Twitter, right? And Shaka Smart is just once a week going on Twitter and saying, my domino of the week was... domino of the game for the George Mason game was Cam Jones, according to Shaka Smart.
Well, that makes sense, Cam Jones. So because Ryan is younger, and that means I'm closer to the Lord, I will be taking the second pick today for my player of the week. So, Ryan, you can highlight whoever you would like to first.
Well, that's a really easy one, and I thought I was going to have to go second. But I'm going to take Cam Jones if I get first pick, because how do you not take Cam Jones? Cam Jones can't win these games by himself, right? Nobody can. It's a team sport. If Cam Jones is as good throughout the season as he was this week, it makes it a lot easier for the rest of the team to come together to win some ball games, because you have an All-American on the team. You have a potential Big East player of the year. I mean, he's one or two right now. Ryan Cockburner was kind of disgusting in his own game, but you know, you have that level, that differential. So when you have a player like that playing that well, it raises the floor and it raises the ceiling. So I'm going to go Cam Jones.
Easy pick. Everyone saw that coming. And that's why I bamboozled you, because I didn't want Cam Jones. That's why I took the second pick. And I am going to take David Joplin. Role player on this team. He is the most consequential player for this team, because you know what you're going to get from Cam Jones. You kind of know what you're going to get from Stevie. You kind of know what you're going to get from Chase Ross. If David Joplin is a second team All Big East, this team could win the Big East this year. David Joplin averaging 27 points in a game where I've kind of underplayed it and was way closer than the final score. He took over that game at certain points and was the best player on the floor, which is hard to do when Cam Jones is on the same floor as you. He needs to hit the three reliably, 5 of 11 in that game. He needs to defend pretty well. You know, he's going to be playing the four. He needs to defend a lot of really good fours in the Big East. And he needs to get his points in a variety of ways, which he did as well. So I'm going with David Joplin. I think that if he takes a step forward, that, you know, we've seen his progression. If he takes another step forward, that this Marquette team is probably the second best team in the Big East.
How about a small shout out to Caden Hamilton? You know, was thrust into a little more playing time than he might have expected due to some struggles from the starting five. And listen, he's not going to end up on any All Big East teams, but he was serviceable. He, you know, kept him in the game. He showed up. He did a couple of good things. He did a couple of bad things, but he did a couple of good things, and I'm sure he's learning. He's a young guy. So I'd like to give him a little shout out for stepping up in the moment when he was asked to.
So congratulations to Caden Hamilton. You picked him for your award, or you picked Cam Jones?
I picked Cam Jones. Just a small shout out to Caden Hamilton.
Small shout out. Yeah, we're still, you know, figuring out Marquette Barham. We're going to be doing award of the week, player of the week, and then we're going to be doing small shout out of the week. Also, I would like Sean Jones to be healthy. If we're asking for things that we want, I'd like Sean Jones to get healthy, because I think that adds another level to this team.
we're talking about the defense of this backcourt, and then you had Sean Jones, who's like, I mean, talk about ball pressure, like 5'10" in your grill, moving faster than, you know, like you can imagine. This backcourt, if they really lock in defensively, they could terrorize other teams.
They're going to out-athlete you in some games with Chase Ross and Sean Jones back there.
Just taking the ball away from you.
Yeah, they could probably do some special things, and they probably do some special things in practice. The dunk contest between Chase Ross and Cam Jones, and I would say even Sean Jones, if he could dunk, probably can. I think that's what they said. It was the best dunker on the team.
Yeah, everybody we've had on always points at him and says, like, you should see what he does in practice. He's like a crazy dunker.
All right, that wraps up our first week of the Marquette Ballroom. I'm going to ask you to do something I don't normally ask for. I want you to like, subscribe, follow us on Twitter. We love doing the Big East Ballroom so much. And when we went out to Milwaukee, we got hooked on the Milwaukee culture. Basketball, beer, brats, cheese curds. How could you not love that? We wanted to do something Marquette-specific because we've had so many great interactions with all of you, so many great connections with the players, that we wanted to, you know, talk about Marquette in a more in-depth way, the way it deserves. So if you have a Marquette fan in your life, I'm going to ask that you send this podcast over to them. Try to get Marquette Ballroom to be as successful as Big East Ballroom has become, so we can, you know, keep bringing you great content with great players and guests. So yeah, that's what I'm going to ask for you.
Absolutely. It's a great idea. We're going to have a lot of fun this year on Marquette Ballroom. We're going to have some great guests on. We've been talking to some players. No, nobody was available for this week, but we got some interest for later in the season. I've talked to a couple other Marquette accounts, some certified ball knowers who have expressed some interest. So we're definitely going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun guests, and you guys should definitely come along for the ride. So do whatever you need to do to keep us at the top of your feed. And appreciate you listening. And as always, thanks for pulling up a stool.